Good morning and welcome to Jenkins Church. It's time to start worship time. Today's a wonderful day, and I'm sure we're all excited to be here. I'd like to welcome everyone to church today. Do we have any visitors? Do we have any visitors in this section? Good morning. Do you want to announce her as a visitor, or is she just old folks now? Good morning. Do we have any?
We have a long distance visitor.
A long distance visitor. Good morning and welcome. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Victor Nicola. I come from Boston, Russia.
Well, welcome. We're glad that you're here today. Okay. And do we have any visitors in the center section? Well, we're all glad that you're here. If you could help with passing, if they haven't already been passed out, pass out the registration books. Already got that taken care of. Okay. Do we have any announcements from the congregation?
There, oh, Melanie, let's start.
Well, I think that we will not have either children's choir or adult choir tonight because of the cookout event.
Right. Tonight is the hayride and cookout at the Strasser Farm at 5 o'clock.
If anybody wants to sing in the community choir, I have books that we've distributed, and we'll be practicing the first part of our choir rehearsals at 5:30. We'll be practicing about half hour probably in the coming week. If you want to join us for practice, or the Methodist Church, I believe, practicing the wings.
There's an outing at Strasser Farm, Mullins Road, third driveway to the left, is that right? Off of Mullins Road, fourth driveway to the left. How many? Fourth driveway to the left, off of Mullins Road. Mullins Road's the second road, past Williams Road, and it's at 5 o'clock, and the Christian Education Committee is kind of in charge, but bring everything you eat or drink. They'll have paper goods and maybe, John, how is the fire going? Is that possible, John? Okay. Fifth driveway. Okay.
Go to where all the cars are.
Oh, you can see them, right.
Okay, if there's no other announcements from...
Probably a presbytery meets today at 3 o'clock at Fayetteville. Anybody wants to go, fine. Karen Miles goes to represent the church. I'll be there. Tommy Job will be there to represent himself as a minister to the presbytery. Susan will be there to represent the Lord Christian Education for the presbytery. So we'll have a representation there at least. And a good supper at Fayetteville. And we'll probably eat about 5, or is it 6? If you just want to come to supper, 5. If you just want to come to supper, come, but it costs you money.
Okay, if there's no other announcements from the congregation, just please read in your bulletin. There's lots of information in there. Do we have any prayer requests? Yes, Deborah.
I have a prayer request, a couple of prayer requests, and a prayer prayer. My mom, Babe Ryan, had cataract surgery Wednesday. It went well. She's doing well. She's up and about, and I thank God for taking care of that for us and for her. And then I would ask you to pray for my sister Rita Ryan. Rita has some issues in her life, and as far as I will go with that, just pray that God will direct her and lead her in the right way. And then I ran into an old friend of my mom and us yesterday. Mom, you work with him, Mylon Tucker. M-I-L-A-N Tucker. Mylon told me that they thought he had leukemia, but it had not been diagnosed yet. But his blood count was at the bottom. But he looked good, he talked good, he had a good grip in his handshake. And I asked him before I left him, I said, Mylon, would it be okay if I put you on the prayer list? He said, would you please? He said, it's the only thing that gets me through. So please pray for my friend, Mylon Tucker. Thank you.
I had a an email from Stannis, Yaroslav Media, will give more details, but she does say that her journey from America to Russia was 100% smooth. The Lord is so great, and He listens to your prayers. So she's thanking us for praying them safely there. She says that Amelia is quite attached to her grandparents at the moment and either wants to stay there with them or bring them back here. And so Feta, of course, is concerned about the eventual parting, both for Amelia and for her parents. So she asks that we pray them back through that their trip through, especially through customs and on the airplane, that we covered them, and she covers our prayers and appreciates all the praying we've been doing.
Julie?
I'd like to pray profound for our youth and the leaders coming back today from the
should be leaving about now, right?
Okay. Larry?
Here's going to have a little surgery Thursday, so I hope you heard the prayer.
He put my mother, Ellen Crowther. She was hospitalized with what turned out to be a virus. She's home now, but she's still very nauseous and has vertigo. Is real dizzy. So just pray that she gets over that quickly.
And Mr. Frudenthal is not doing well. He's grieving. He was here for the 8 o'clock service going to a birthday party for his sister, but just lift him up. Some of us are going to try to get him out for a couple of meals this week.
Are there any other prayer requests or praises?
Praise.
All right.
Nancy and all the other ladies from the church got back safely from Cancun. And also, greetings from Mississippi. I told the 8 o'clock service that even though I've been down there several times to the coast for two different hurricanes, I was still amazed that even after 15 months that Mississippi is still in terrible shape. So please pray for all those people on the Mississippi coast. New Orleans got all the attention, but you know, Hurricane Katrina actually hit Mississippi. So, I mean, unfortunate as that is, but we did get two or three roofs repaired and some drywall torn out and some more different houses we started putting the drywall back, but they're still in just terrible condition down there. So pray for those people and the churches that are trying to help.
Okay, if you have any prayer requests that you haven't mentioned, just write them on the card in the pew in front of you there and put them in the offering plate. And now we pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for a worship of God. And you might want to pray the prayer that is in the bulletin or one of your own. Amen. We light the candles, symbolizing welcoming Jesus, the light of the world, into our service. Worship today is from Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Let's all stand, turn in our hymnals to hymn 17. Ye servants of God, salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Ye servants of God, your master proclaim, and publish abroad his wonderful name. The name of victorious, our Jesus extol. His kingdom is glorious, he rules over all. God ruleth on high, almighty to save, and still he is nigh, his presence we have. The great congregation his triumph shall sing, ascribing salvation to Jesus our King. Salvation to God, who sits on the throne, let all cry aloud, and honor the Son. The praises of Jesus, the angels shall sing, down on their faces, and worship the Lamb. Then let us adore, and give Him His right, all glory and power, all wisdom and might, all honor and blessing with angels above, and thanks never ceasing and infinite love.
We bow for prayer. I'm going to ask our friend, Reverend Tommy Job, to lead us in prayer and then lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Please remain standing for the Creed and the Gloria. Brother Tommy.
All praise and glory be to you, O God, our Father, as we approach you this morning to worship, giving you thanks for our lives and the opportunities to make choices that would reflect your presence in us. Thank you for this community and for this gathering community of your people, for all who worship you today. We pray, O God, that you will guide us in our thinking, that your word may penetrate us, may give us the guidance we need to live this day. We thank you for your servant who comes to bring us your divine word, guide him and guide us if we are receptive to your message. Strengthen us now in all that we do and say. Through Christ our Lord we ask it. Because he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's join together and recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end.
Call to confession is from 1 John 1, 8 through 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our prayer of confession, let us read in unison. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in you and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This comes from 1 Timothy 1:15. Thank you.
Turn in your hymnals now again, if you will, please. Hymn 189, Calvary Covers It All. He forgave us all our sins. Colossians 2:13. Let's sing first and last things.
Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there. And Calvary covers it all. How blessed is the thought that my soul born Him bought shall be His in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throne, and the Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. I give my sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there. Calvary covers it
all. You know, we go through days sometimes where we're full of guilt and shame and despair, and we all know, being Christians, that all we have to do is just reach out to Jesus and allow Him to touch us and to cleanse us and to give us that peace. Just allow Jesus to touch you. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the crust of sin and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. About the touch of Jesus.
504.
See, all singing the chorus together. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. I'm full of joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know He touched me and made me whole. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jerry and Julie. That was beautiful. It's now time for children's time with Miss Andrea, and the children can go to children's church afterwards.
We're refreshed, we're renewed, and we're ready to go out and serve.
So let's remember that. We sang a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Sam, I can never find it in the book again. I can't even remember which temple it was in. And I love this song. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. That's why we're here. Let's remember that, okay? Calm down a little bit and come on in and worship.
Would you want to sing that?
It's 383 in our hymnal. Let's see if we can do that. First of all, we have to open our eyes. Dancing on the field, okay. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see you. Open our eyes.
Our offertory sentence today is from 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
As you are, turn in your hymnals to hymn 294, Set My Soul Afire. My wife will tell you that when I come back from one of these mission trips that my soul's on fire, or as they say in Mississippi, afar. But I want to tell you something about the college students. We worked with 20 students from Kentucky Wesleyan College in Owensboro, Kentucky, and we worked with about 11 students from Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. I believe that Christianity is in good hands. These kids are on fire. So we hear a lot of the bad stuff, but I want to tell you, we worked with some great kids this week, and I didn't have to carry a shingle up on a roof. We let those young backs do that. We're creatures of habit. Let's make it a habit to read God's Word and set your souls afire. First verse and two choruses. One verse and two choruses.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me, let thy voice be heard. Missions roam in darkness, in this day and hour. I will be a witness, fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. From Deuteronomy 6:6-12. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Deuteronomy 6:17-18. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Turn now, if you will, please, in the Renew Hymnal. Hymn 94 in the Renew Hymn. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you till the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
I wonder if, Pete has something to give out to you, if you don't already have one. Vince on this side. A few verses, just a few of the verses, telling us what Christians are to do. Not that there are just a few verses, but a few of the many verses. You might notice that last week, if you were here last week, I printed a handout, and I thought I had it before me, but it was the things that we are to do, the things that Christians, the things, last week we talked about the things that are not to do. Now the complaint that I often hear is there are so many do-nots in the Bible. So last week I printed a bunch of the do-nots. I only got a 5.5 by 8.5 sheet of paper, both sides. Now, for this week, we have dispelled the notion, or we're attempting to dispel the notion that there's more do-nots than there are things to do. Got a 8.5 by 11. Now, I do admit that included here are some do-nots also. Okay, it's hard to leave them out. I also confess that the printing is a lot larger on this than it is on this. I also confess at the 8 o'clock service we didn't get through this sermon, and I'm not going to keep you all day either. And we only got through down to the words of the apostles. Then I jumped down to the bottom and to obey, and skipped all of that from the apostles. But each of the apostles that I listed, I have a short passage, actually from Paul, I have from Romans and Corinthians, his letter to both of those churches. There's a lot, a whole chapter, the 12th chapter of Romans and the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But then on the, and then there's just a little bitty, one short phrase from Galatians. There's a lot of to-dos in there. But I just stopped it to live by the Spirit. Go and read that yourself. But then I've got a James passage on the backside of this, a passage from Peter, and a passage from John. And I did not get a Hebrew writer's passage, but I'll call your attention to chapter 10 and chapter 13 for some Hebrew writing things that God calls us to do as Christians. We who have been touched, and we who have responded to that touch. Thank you, Jerry and Julie. And I told Julie, I've never seen you sing, heard you sing so quietly. And bless her heart. Jerry, I was waiting for her to come through there and drowned you out. But thank you, Julie, every time you sing. And but she didn't do it. Jerry was pretty strong there this morning, wasn't he? And that was beautiful, beautiful. Even when Julie was singing quietly. But we who have been touched by the hand of God or the Spirit of God, He touched me. I remember various times in my life when I've had that special touch. And touch is so important between people. And I'm not the touchy-feely person, but I admit and acknowledge the benefits of touch. And we think of that time that God touched us, but you know, hopefully that touch doesn't leave us, that His hand is still on us. Amen, amen. What can a Christian do? If there's a bunch of do-nots, what can a Christian do? What does God tell a Christian to do? Matthew 7:24 through 27, we heard that. Do what He says do. Now, what is it that we're supposed to do? What does He tell us to do? And then Deuteronomy 6 through 12, and then 17 through 18, and we selected verses so they won't read all day. But these are some encouragement. In Deuteronomy, it's live with that passage. Live with God's Word. What? On your forehead, on your wrist, as you go in your house, as you come out of your house, as you lie down, as you raise up, live with the commandments of God. So, what's a Christian to do with all of the do-nots that we are bombarded with? And the answer is much. There is much for us to do. Well, what is that much? For the sermon's sake this morning, I thought it was, but this may be for a portion of it, but to start with this morning, I've selected three things that I see as understand to be very obvious for the Christian. We've heard them over and over and over. Whether we're doing them or not, that's another story. But we know what to do. We know certain things that we're supposed to be doing. We have difficulty doing it sometimes. We stumble and fall. We're not always able to do even as we want to do, as the Apostle Paul testified in Romans chapter 7. I want to do this, but I'm not able to do it because I know it's right, but I'm still not able to do it. I don't want to do this because I know it's wrong, but I find myself doing it. Jesus Christ is our rescuer. He has delivered us from the death that comes for not for the sins of omission and the sins of commission. But the obvious. The first commandment, the greatest commandment. You remember somebody went to Jesus, some people went to Jesus. There's more than one account of this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I've quoted Luke, also listed the reference for Matthew and Mark. They said, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and all of your mind. Love God. That's the greatest thing we can do. And I would trust that all of us would be in love with God. But every once in a while we hear of some people that are mad at God. Maybe they're not quit loving Him, but they're frustrated by events in their life, and they don't understand why God can let such things happen, so they become mad at God. And sometimes they work through it, and sometimes they go to their grave with it. But God does not do for us that which will harm us. And all that He does for us, even sometimes we can't see the benefit, is for our good and for His glory. And He wants us to enjoy life. He loves us. And he calls us to love him. We shall love God. What can I do as a Christian, as one who's been touched by the hand of God? The Spirit has touched my heartstrings. The Spirit of God. I can love God. And the second thing I think is obvious for the Christian is love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. That's loving yourself. Supposed to love ourselves. But love our neighbor just as much. Look out for his welfare as much as we look out for our own. Okay. Kind of tough, isn't it? Not easy to be a Christian. Easy to become a Christian. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we can be saved. But being what we have become, you find a difficult time in doing that, difficult experience in being Christian, in obeying what the Word says. But the greatest commandment in the Word, the commandment on which hangs all the law and the prophet, there's two of them. One is to love God. The second is to love our fellow man. And I'm starting with the New Testament here, but we did go and print out some for our scripture lesson for the Old Testament too. We don't want to forget the Old Testament. That we're not saved by being good or doing these things that we're supposed to do. We cannot earn, we cannot work hard enough to earn our way to heaven. We get to heaven, we're assured a place in heaven through our faith. By grace, we are saved through faith. But as saved people, as Christians, as people on the way to heaven, as citizens of heaven, we're called upon to glorify God with our lives by loving God, showing love for God, and showing love for our fellow man. Looking out for their best interest. For their best interest. Moving on to number two, the thing that I see is very obvious. Forgive those who have sinned against us. I'm 100% for God forgiving me. I'm 100% for other people forgiving me when I have offended them. Please forgive me wherever I have offended you. Am I as eager to forgive others when they have offended me as I am to receive forgiveness when I have offended them? But Jesus talks about forgiveness. And right after the Lord's Prayer, when he taught it as according to the Gospel according to Matthew, he talks about forgiveness. Then there's a parable that he uses about forgiveness. A man owed a debt, and he asked the person he owed the debt to forgive him, and he was forgiven. And then somebody who owed the same man a debt, he came and asked to be forgiven that debt. Well, the guy who had been forgiven said, "No, I won't forgive you." I'm sure some way he justified it. You know, people are good at doing that, even today. I'm sure that he did. He wouldn't forgive. So, the forgiveness that had been offered, the first man, had been given the first man. It was withdrawn. And because he would not forgive the person who owed him, he was thrown into jail till he paid every penny. And I haven't figured out how you could pay every penny in jail. But they even did it just a few centuries ago. Maybe they could earn 30 cents a day by washing dishes in jail or doing the laundry or something. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Could we turn there if you'd like to turn with me? Chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. I still remember that Paul preached to the Bereans and they searched the Scriptures to make sure that he was preaching the truth. He was sticking with the Scriptures. So I'm mindful that you need to search the Scriptures to see if I haven't gotten off track or something. I still remember some time ago I got the wrong characters, and that still haunts me. Jane Clemens said, "Forget it and get on with life." So I have, but it comes back to haunt me every once in a while, Jane. I think I had Nathan, and it was somebody else, or it was supposed to be Nathan, and I had Samuel. You remember that, don't you? Thank you, Jane, for telling me that. Except for forgiveness, it was offered. Okay. Verse 14, Matthew 6:14. The Lord's Prayer has been taught, okay? He's taught us how to pray. And then he says, for if you forgive men their transgressions, this is the American Standard Bible, the New American Standard, I believe I'm reading from, and if you forgive men for their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Or if you forgive men their trespasses, or if you forgive men their sins, or if you forgive men their debts that they owe you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions, your sin. There's some condition put on the forgiveness of God, isn't it? We've got to be as willing to forgive others, to offer forgiveness, to give forgiveness, as we are to receive it. That's what it says, isn't it? Any question about that? And I got a red letter edition up here, and that's written in red. That's what Jesus said. Not what even the Apostle Paul said, but all Scripture is given by God. But this is written in red, and for some way, when it's written in red, it's a red letter edition, if Jesus said it, being God in the flesh, that's important. That's almost a verily, verily I say unto you. And then the other obvious one, and I think we all know it, we've had rulers to show us the golden rule. Different kind of rule, the golden rule, the words to live by, but they put it on 12-inch rulers and 36-inch yardsticks. Why don't you call them rulers? But they're yardsticks, because it's a yard, I guess. Or meter sticks. I don't guess I've seen those meter sticks. The golden rule. Matthew 6:31. Most every kid knows this. And I hope we haven't forgotten it. We sent the children out. I hope we haven't forgotten it as adults. Do unto others as you want them to do to you. Question. Always can ask ourselves a question. Would you want him or her to do that to you? Or if it's to do something for someone, would you want him or her to do that for you? Golden rule. Matthew 6:31. It's Bible. It's Bible. And I see these three as being very obvious. Maybe I live in a different world than other people, but we've been over them, and in my years of preaching, I've preached on them or mentioned them. I have to look them up sometime. And now, where are those verses? Mark also talks about forgiveness. Mark chapter 11. If we want to be forgiven, we need to forgive. Luke chapter 10 for the first and greatest commandment, but also Matthew 22 and Mark 12. Now, these obvious ones, when they have been done, the situation becomes more difficult to me, because there's some things that are not so obvious. Or to me, they're not. Not because we can't find them, they're right there, but to know where to start, know where to begin. Just to know where to begin. I guess you could say, begin doing just a few. You could just open up and start reading and find one thing that it says to do and do that day. And then add something to it the next day. Now look at the words of Jesus, if you will, as a place to begin. And I've chosen Luke to find some things that Jesus tells us to do. And it's 6 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 12. 6, 8, 9, 10, and 12. Jesus says, love our enemies. Now we talked about that as it love our neighbor, but love our enemies even. Luke 6:27. Would you like to hear that one? Would you like to turn with me? If it's your own Bible, you can mark it. But you can make a note on it there if you have one of the outlines that I provided. Luke 6, what did I say? 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. When somebody curse, you've been cursed. Have been cursed, cussed out. That's Mississippi word is cussed. He cussed me out. I've been cussed out a few times. You know what I want to do? And I'm not proud of it. You know what I've done? Cussed them back. But I'm learning to forgive them. Say, that's okay. And I have been able to say, that's okay. That's okay. That's your opinion. But it's not a correct opinion. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Hard to become, to be what we've become, isn't it? We become Christians through believing, but following the Word. Again, it's red letters that says this. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer to him the other also. I don't need to confess too much about all of these. I might not have too much to brag about. That's what we're supposed to do, though. Working on it. Pray for me. But join me. And then, okay, it's Luke 8:16. I fixed it where we could just turn and keep turning. 8:16. Talks about no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed. Now, who would light a lamp and set it under the bed? It'd catch the bed on fire, wouldn't it? Especially if it was a candle. If it was straw or cotton or whatever, or dust under the bed. But Jesus is saying you don't do that. But you let your light shine. And go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Talking about us being the light of the world. We who have been touched. We who have been lighted up by Jesus. We are the light of the world. And we're supposed to let our light shine before the world, that others may see the good works that we're doing. Not to pat us on the back, but to glorify our Father in heaven. And the kind of the overflow, the trickle-down theory or something, we get some of that praise too. It just happens if we've been serving the Lord. But we're doing it to glorify God. And then 9:23. Denying self and, okay, it's Lenten season and I gave up Cokes for one day. Boy, I didn't give up this weekend. Tommy and Gloria and Carol and I went to homecoming at Bethel. We ate three breakfasts. Got up at 8 at the hotel and got up, went to a breakfast at 7:30 and another at 8:30. Wow, and then lunch at 11:30. No, it's 12 o'clock. Gloria didn't eat that much. Got home last night and they were talking about eating light and I went in and had to have a sandwich and another sandwich before I went to bed. I think I had three in the whole thing. Wow! Deny myself. I haven't done too much of that, but I needed to if I want to be healthy. I ate some stuff that wasn't healthy. But where were we? 8:16? No, 9:23. Deny ourselves, take up a cross. Not a little cross in our pocket. Put a cross in your pocket, attach it to your keychain. That's okay to remind you what Jesus did for you. But what cross are we called to bear? What cross are you bearing? I don't want to brag on Sam too much. But he's doing some stuff. He don't have to go to Mississippi at work, except the Lord told him to go. But you've got crosses too. You don't have to deliver meal on wheels, but somebody says, I want you to deliver meal on wheels. You don't have to go to Presbytery this afternoon, but they'll give a good meal. We'll have a good meal. It may be boring and we may argue and that's okay. That's our privilege. And then we come out, hug necks and come home, you know. We're going to ordain our vote. We think we're going to vote to ordain a person today. Is that right? Possibly. The recommendation is anyway. 70-something-year-old man wants to be ordained in our church to be a Cumberland Presbyterian minister. Okay, take up a cross and follow Jesus. Don't go off on our own. Follow Jesus. And time slips away. Ain't it funny how time slips away when you're standing in the pulpit? It really does. And then, Praise God. 10:21. Just go to 10:21. He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Just rejoice in the Lord or praise the Lord. Carol met, and Tommy and Gloria and I met an old friend from college days who was raised a Methodist but became a Pentecostal of some sort. And he just has to praise the Lord. And we went to hear Renaissance Friday night. And she was sitting there and almost dancing in the aisle. And her story was, and she never did get to tell the crowd that we kind of hung with this weekend, she got thrown out of a church, a Pentecostal church, for dancing too much in the church. She just said, I got so happy I did. My feet just wouldn't stand still, and I just got out the aisle and danced. And they said, we don't do that here. And rejoicing in the Lord, a person that Tommy and Gloria and I'm thinking, we never thought that girl would get that spiritual, did we? I didn't. So, but just glorying in the Lord. He talked to her and said, I just prayed about it, and here the Lord sent me this message. She's rejoicing in the Lord. So praising God the Father. That's what can we do as Christians? We can praise God. And then stay ready. 12:35. Let's stay ready for Jesus to return and to call us home. You can figure out, some people try to tell you what the process or the order of things to come and all of that. Just be ready when Jesus comes. Just be waiting and ready. I don't care how He does it. I'm going to trust Him to fix it up just like it ought to be right. Just hope He don't leave me here for the tribulation. But if He does, I'm trusting that He'll help me get through it. See? 3.5 years of punishment? Maybe like one day. But anyhow, 12:35. Just be ready. Watch out that the light in you may not be darkness. Keep the light burning. The light of Christ. Stay ready. And then we go to look at the words of the apostles, and I printed a few. You can go read the rest of them. Romans 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Then what Peter said and what James said and what John said, the Hebrew writer, and I already said it, read a little bit every day. But be careful about certain passages, like the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth. Go read what Jesus said about this. Compare the Old Testament with the New Testament. So we'll be toothless if we don't watch out or be blind. Okay. The other thing, be careful what passage you put this passage in this passage, or you'll find yourself hanging from a rope. It says Judas went out and hanged himself, go thou and do likewise. Be careful that you don't put the wrong two phrases together. So use common sense when you learn what God wants us to do. To obey is the right thing to do. It shows one to be a person of the faith. It honors God and honors Jesus. And if we obey, we're told that things will go well with us. Our house won't fall down. Our life won't fall apart. Have you responded to the touch of Jesus and decided to follow Him? Or maybe you have said, yes, I want to be a Christian, but I've had my eyes enlightened, my heart enlightened about what a Christian is supposed to do, and I want to follow Him in being a Christian as well as becoming a Christian. 376, a song, and you may have a public response you can make here in the altar. Hopefully we all have our private response to God and His holy word as His Spirit touches us. But if the altar is where you feel that you need to be this morning, please come. We'll meet you here and pray, or just let you pray by yourself. It's 376, the first and the second stanza, Sam. Please stand.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.